Imagine living near enough to a large-scale waste incinerator that the smell of the air is different, that the health of the population in the area is demonstrably worse. For the last 3 decades, that is exactly what the situation for residents near the Detroit incinerator, which was most recently owned by Detroit Renewable Power, faced. At the end of May, that incinerator was finally shut down. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, and my guest this morning is Melissa Cooper-Sargent. Melissa is the Green Living Resource Director at the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center. She's been an instrumental part of the center's grassroots Breathe Free Detroit campaign. It is that campaign that helped get the incinerator shut down. And thank you so much for the time today, Melissa. I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
You've not only been an interested environmental advocate when it comes to the old incinerator near the juncture of I-94 and I-75 in Detroit, you've been living in the area with your family, right?
That's correct.
Was the odor detectable around your house?
Well, what we would smell was the trash building up, and it would be worse on Sundays, it seemed like, whenever you wanted to be out in your yard having a picnic or just riding bikes. That's when the stench seemed to be the worst. And what we would always say at MDEQ hearings and such is that, but what we're more concerned about is what we can't smell. It was the emissions of chemicals.
And I wanted to bring that up. Right. So did the incinerator also generate visible smoke plumes that made you aware, hey, there's unhealthy stuff going up in the air here?
Yes. You could see the smoke on certain days. There was steam coming out of it, but sometimes that was a different color, a darker color.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't sure exactly when some of these events were happening, where they were releasing particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide. And so we had to rely on air testing to find that out, because they had over 700 clean air violations within a five-year span.
That's almost unheard of, isn't it?
It's a lot. It's really a lot. I don't know how it compares to other facilities across the country, but the state of Michigan did not find them. They didn't really have the power to find them for each and every one of those violations. So they had a reduced violation fee that they would pay.
Didn't the company ultimately reach consent agreements with the state to clean up the pollution and to get rid of those odors?
They did. They had a consent agreement on the odors. They were not supposed to have any odors. And so whenever we would smell trash, we would call the MDEQ, which is now the Eagle,
right.
And they would come out and they would issue violations, because they were continuously in violation of even those consent orders.
And ultimately, the company decided it could not fix the odors with any kind of reasonable financial output, so they closed it down.
Yes, and so we worked with the Great Lakes Environmental Law Center and the Ecology Center and Environment Michigan. We were two plaintiffs on a potential lawsuit. We had filed a petition of intent to sue to the facility, and the facility had 60 days to respond before we were allowed to go ahead with the lawsuit, and they decided that they could not operate their facility in the bounds of the law and still run a profit. So about 5 days before that lawsuit could have been filed, they announced their shutdown.
The incinerator's only been closed a few weeks now. Is it too early to notice a difference in the air? Are you still smelling the trash on Sundays?
We are not smelling the trash anymore, and it's beautiful. It's really wonderful, yes.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking incinerators, landfills, air quality, and public health with Melissa Cooper-Sargent. Melissa is the Green Living Resource Director at the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center. Let's do talk a little bit about the public health component. Detroit as a whole has asthma rates at 3 times the state average, but in the east side zip codes near the incinerator, the hospitalization rates for respiratory ailment was highest of any location in the city. Now, just because the incinerator is closed, that doesn't mean those issues are going to go away. Is there even a way to measure the long-term health costs of exposure?
So you're right. The issues are not all going to go away. The incinerator was one facility that was exacerbating an issue that was, that continues. So that one has stopped emitting pollutants into the area. You're at the cross-section of two major freeways. There's that. There's also other polluters, stationary
sure.
polluters. We're looking at Fiat Chrysler is looking to expand their operations, and they have some air quality issues around that as well. So, right, there are other issues. So this was a rare victory for the, you know, environmental justice and environmental efforts and advocacy. So we were pushing for the closure of this facility. It did happen sooner than we thought it would. We thought we had a few more years of fight to go. So what we had begun was an air monitoring project, because one of the major pollutants coming out of the incinerator is particulate matter, which they only had to measure once a year or once every 18 months. And we wanted to have a better picture of the particulate matter in the area. So we purchased monitors, air monitors, and have set them up. But now that the incinerator is closed, we're expanding the areas within Detroit and then also even in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti areas of where we will be putting up some air monitors. And these are low-cost air monitors, and we will have on our website where you can see, we will post a map, and you'll be able to see what the numbers are.
And how in the future might this data be used to enhance air quality throughout Southeast Michigan?
Well, what air monitors, community air monitor programs do, it's really hard to say, okay, there was a spike in particulate matter this day and it came from a particular facility. But what these community projects do is raise awareness about air quality and air pollution, and it can help get people involved and more aware of that, the fact that there are air concerns. And, you know, if you have asthma, there's things that you can do, and you can take precautions to avoid exposure on days where there's bad air. So we can use it as an educational tool to empower people with information.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and Issues of the Environment continues with the Ecology Center's Green Living Resource Director, Melissa Cooper Sargent. Now, that old Detroit incinerator was burning about 3,000 tons of trash per day. That is trash that is now going to end up in landfills. The Environmental Protection Agency still says incinerators are actually preferable to landfilling trash. So are we going to make an environmental difference, or are we simply shifting the problem to a new and different location?
Well, with incinerators, you have the air pollution, and they're placed in environmental justice communities. Generally, they are in communities that the people are not wealthy. They're generally communities of color. And so those communities are bearing the burden with their health and with their well-being of everybody's trash. So it is a victory that the incinerator has been shut down. And with any incinerator, it's not landfill-free, because at the end of the day, you have toxic ash that has to go to a landfill. So you are still sending, could be anywhere from a fifth or a third of the amount of trash. It's now just toxic ash. So that does still have to go to a landfill. That said, we know what it's like to be on the receiving end of everybody else's trash. So we don't want to be dumping in other communities. And so we are going to be pushing the city of Detroit and other communities to really think about where your trash goes, how can you reduce the amount of trash that's being created, how can we get municipal composting in other areas. Ann Arbor has some great programs, and we want to see those types of things in other communities. We should all be doing everything that we can to minimize the trash that we send to landfills.
It does take investment. And again, it is one of those NIMBY, not in my backyard kind of issues.
Definitely.
And you brought this up. There are nearly 77,000 children that lived within a 5-mile radius of that incinerator. Of those living within 1 mile, 87% people of color, 60% living below the poverty line, and the unemployment rate in those zip codes at 20%. Why is it that these kinds of facilities are operated in poor and black-populated communities?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's something that we all need to think about. Why is it okay? Why do we feel like it's okay as a society to have these facilities in these locations? These are people with families. These are children who are trying to breathe. It's a matter of empowerment, and I think that if you tried to put an incinerator in Birmingham or West Bloomfield, the people wouldn't stand for it. But in these other communities, I think it's hard for people to be empowered to fight against it. But residents have been fighting against the incinerator for 30 years, and so it's finally. They've finally been able to get it shut down.
So in looking to the future of how we deal with this waste, regardless of whether it's incinerators or landfills, what do we need to look at in terms of public policy so that it is not the burden of those who are less likely to have a voice?
Well, I think it's important to make sure that community members are at the decision-making table and to include community members in the very beginning process of, okay, let's figure out what we're going to do with our trash, and let's be aware of these racial inequities and other economic inequities that are happening. And so we're not just expecting somebody, some other community other than our own, to bear this burden, and to really know that we're all in this together, right? And we all have to work together to make sure that everybody in the state has a healthy place to live.
Melissa, thank you so much for the time and the information. I appreciate it. And when we get more data available from those monitoring stations in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, and other portions of southeast Michigan, I'll look forward to talking with you again.
Wonderful. I look forward to it as well.
That is Melissa Cooper Sargent. She is the Green Living Resource Director at the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center and our guest for Issues of the Environment. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and it's heard each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.